July unleashed a torrent of hiring in the U.S. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. 528,000 new jobs were created in July, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics report out this morning. The unemployment rate fell from 3.6% to 3.5%, and the previous several months' estimates of job creation were revised upwards, so what looked like a slowdown has been completely reversed and revealed to be an acceleration. Dr. David Kelly is Chief Global Strategist with J.P. Morgan Funds and joins us to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the job market was literally raging in July. Why?
Well, it was a very strong report. I mean, we've now recovered all the jobs we lost in the pandemic. And we actually, if you take it out to two decimal places, we recorded the lowest unemployment rate since May of 1969.
Wow.
In July. So it's a very strong report. I think it's really because of a lot of pent-up demand for jobs coming out of the recession. We've had huge numbers of job openings, and companies are simply trying to fill those positions.
Do you think this pace, I mean, how long is it sustainable for?
Oh, not very long. I do expect that job growth will slow down. We've seen unemployment claims gradually ease up or rise in recent weeks. We've seen job openings come down a bit. So this will slow down. But it does say that the economy is fundamentally healthy, at least in terms of the job market. So I think it very much validates Chairman Powell when he says we're not in a recession right now. We're not in a recession right now.
Markets, futures at least, did not like this report. Why would markets be sad about job growth?
Well, I think they're a little scared that it might make the Federal Reserve more aggressive when it comes to interest rates. But I think the Federal Reserve is really looking at inflation, and we're going to get some inflation reports next week. And I think with declines in airline fares and particularly lower gasoline prices, I think we're going to see an easing in inflation. So I think the markets should cheer up right now. We have a very healthy job market, and I think inflation is beginning to come down.
Dr. David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist with J.P. Morgan Funds, thank you so much.
Anytime.
So what these jobs numbers all boil down to is that even as the Fed's interest rate hikes bite and the economy slows, it is likely that the job market will remain tight and labor shortages acute for the foreseeable future, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Some big companies are cutting back on employment, and first-time jobless claims are on the rise. But this is still a labor market where employers have to scramble to attract and hire workers, and workers have lots of options and leverage.
Despite talks of recession and headlines around layoffs, our research shows that hiring is remaining strong.
Megan Slabinski is with consulting firm Robert Half.
It is still a labor shortage. There are nearly two job openings for every individual that is unemployed today. And job optimism amongst employees continues to be very high.
Confidence that you can keep the job you have and find a new one if you start looking has led workers to quit at near record rates. So employers are struggling to replace workers, while at the same time, they're still trying to add workers to meet strong consumer demand. And keep in mind, they've already spent a year or more competing to staff up after the early pandemic shutdowns, says Frank Fiorelli at small business HR firm Paychex.
Those business owners had such a hard time filling those jobs and finding people that they're pretty reluctant to let them go right now until things get really, really bad.
One sign of ongoing labor shortages is that labor force participation still hasn't recovered to pre-pandemic levels. Some people who were working before the pandemic are still on the sidelines because of child or elder care responsibilities or because they're still afraid of getting COVID. Those effects are likely to fade over time, says Joseph Bruswellis at consulting firm RSM. But longer term,
the labor market will continue to look tight by historical standards. And there's not much that anyone's going to be able to do about it because it's driven by largely demographic changes.
Bruswellis says for decades, the labor force grew by about 1% a year.
But as the long echo of the post-war baby boomers who are now retiring impacts the economy, we've seen labor market growth of less than 0.5%. In fact, it's closer to 0.2%.
Meanwhile, immigration has fallen dramatically in the past several years, a result of restrictive policy and the pandemic. Bottom line, we'll probably be stuck with labor shortages in the U.S. for a while, whether there's a recession or not. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
China continues its four-day military exercises around the self-ruled island of Taiwan, which it considers to be part of China. These exercises have disrupted trade and air travel and include areas facing Taiwan's largest ports and come within what the island considers its territorial waters. China's exercises are a response not just to Speaker Nancy Pelosi's recent trip to the island, but to perceived shifts in U.S. attitudes. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes reports from Taipei.
I think there's a lot of background to this. It's about the deteriorating relationship between Beijing and Washington that has been going on for some years. It's about legislation coming up in the U.S. Congress to recognize Taiwan more fully. It's about U.S. senators and members of Congress wanting to pass laws to support Taiwan in other ways. So there's this general sense with the Chinese regime that America is changing its stance towards Taiwan, the stance that has held for the last 40-odd years. And Ms. Pelosi coming here has come in the middle of that, and so they feel like they have to make a point. They have to make an example of her visit, and they have to show that America's position is not acceptable in the long run.
Taiwan's government argues China's exercises are having the effect of a temporary economic blockade. Taiwanese Foreign Minister Joseph Wu spoke with the BBC.
The Taiwanese people elected the Taiwanese government, and this is also a reality. What the Chinese government claims is an expansionism. Look at the Chinese behavior on Hong Kong or claiming the East China Sea or the South China Sea. You can tell that this is a typical expansionism of an authoritarian state. And for this matter, I think the international community, particularly those countries in this area, need to watch out for what China has been trying to do. And Taiwan is not going to be the last piece in the Chinese dream of expansionism.
That was Taiwan's Foreign Minister Joseph Wu speaking to our editorial partner, the BBC. Military strategists say China's demonstration of force is a foreshadowing of economic strategies China might one day employ to reunify with what it considers to be a renegade province. Strategies that are short of all-out war, but that could have global economic consequences. Taiwan is home to the most valuable semiconductor producer in the world and makes the world's most advanced chips found in weapons systems, cars, and advanced electronics. Pandemic disruptions of semiconductor chip supply contributed to inflation and car shortages around the world. Our digital producer is Redmond Carolipio. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler, Brian Allison, and Jay Siebold. Our interim executive producer is Meredith Gerritsen. And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.